I'm very pleased and honored to be here today to talk with you about Paul's transformational journey and mission and the transformational agenda and long-term transformational narrative of Acts. It struck me as interesting when Alicia told me that she had chosen a particular passage from the Acts of the Apostles about Paul and Silas's prison episode. I thought it kind of an interesting play word to be able to use a passage from the Acts of Apostles to talk about Acts. She assured me that that was not her intention, be it intended or not, it's a clever little play on words. So let's begin with Paul's transformational journey and agenda. The Apostle Paul was a well-educated leading Jew named Saul, who, living in Jerusalem after Christ's death and resurrection, was involved in destroying the Christian church. One day, on his way to Damascus to find and imprison more Christians, Paul had an epiphany in which he met the Lord. In fact, Paul's experience in many quarters has become a bit of a talisman or a paradigm case, as you were, of what happens in such transformative experiences. I'm sure you've all used the phrase from time to time, like Paul on the road to Damascus, to describe these kinds of experiences. So Paul repented and was transformed, became a leading missionary, perhaps the leading missionary, of the incipient Christian church. The New Testament records Paul as having taken three missionary journeys that spread the message of Christ to Asia Minor and Europe. The prison episode that he shared with Silas occurred during his journey to Greece in his second mission. The purposes of Paul's missionary journey was to bring the gospel to Gentiles and establish the church. Paul's letter to the churches, recorded in the New Testament, still to this day support church life and doctrine in many ways. So in Paul's mission, there is what I call a transformational continuum that runs throughout. In this transformational continuum, at one end, you have simply bringing the message of gospel to people and converting them to the faith. At the other end of the transformational continuum, you have the work of establishing a church with all the policies and practices and structures that go with that. Policies and practices and structures that obviously endure to this day and affect all of our lives. So, having reflected on that, I'd like to turn to talk a little bit about the transformational agenda now of Acts. In the spring of 1999, religious leaders from diverse faith traditions in Syracuse began meeting monthly to discuss the state of Syracuse, the health of the metropolitan area, and what could be done by the community to develop transformational strategies to improve the common good. These meetings gave birth to the Alliance of Communities Transforming Syracuse, or ACTS. And I do believe that UUMC was one of the charter members of ACTS. If not a charter member, it certainly joined the ACTS community fairly quickly thereafter. ACTS is a prophetic community of faith and conscience that is called to intervene in history for the sake of social justice. This is a call to action that Universalist theologian Richard Gilbert refers to as the prophetic imperative. It asserts that we are called by our tradition, our theology or ideology, our ethics, our sociology, to live under the prophetic imperative of the new social gospel. This new social gospel, like the Golden Rule, is not limited to Christianity. It cuts across all faith traditions and includes all who seek to create the beloved community of justice, equity, and solidarity. Since its inception, ACTS and its task forces and action teams have worked in our community along with various allies to achieve numerous successes in addressing youth opportunities, economic development and jobs, health care, food availability and access, criminal justice, civil rights for immigrants, and universal pre-K and educational issues. We've had many victories in these areas, but in spite of all these victories, we recognize that we have not achieved the transformational change in the community that we have sought. And so because of this, we began a strategic discernment and planning process in January of 2015 at an annual leadership retreat and in various other activities since then. Out of this strategic plan, there emerged, or strategic discernment, there emerged a plan that focused on communication, engagement, and sustainability. A critical part of this was a recognition, a deeply held belief, that one of the main reasons why we haven't achieved the transformational change that we have sought is because we had not intentionally focused sufficiently on the issues of racism and poverty and the inequitable distribution of power. So the transformational agenda that ACTS is now engaged in is one that focuses very, very clearly through all of our work on the issues of racism and poverty as they affect our community. Excuse me. So the vision of ACTS, which you see up there, and I've already sort of referred to, is to, as a powerful, civically engaged community of people of faith and conscience, work collectively to bring into being the beloved community of justice, equity, and solidarity. Our mission, I'll talk a little bit about later because I've always referred to that somewhat, but I want to move on and quickly refer to some of our values. Now, hopefully, as you came in today, you received some handouts, a brochure, two other items that describe some of the material that I'm going to talk about and also describe some opportunities for action that you will have that I'll refer to a little bit later. If you didn't get that on the way out, please get one on the way in. Please get one on the way out, and you can refer to that material. In terms of our values, there's four values here out of these eight that I want to emphasize. We believe in the inclusion of all people in decision-making about matters that impact them. We believe in the power of organizing for grassroots leadership and participatory democracy in all facets of our social, in all facets of our justice work. The fifth value, we believe in intentionally imposing racism, classism, sexism, sectarianism, and all other forms of bigotry and oppression. And finally, we believe in the power of advocacy to bring about structural change necessary to dismantling systems of poverty and oppression. And now, in order to explore this a bit further, God and Barbara willing, I'd like to show you a video. Okay, we'll go on without it. I retrieved the sign just in case the technology didn't work and I'd have to play the role of Clifford Ryan. Don't you just love technology? It's great when it works and when it doesn't. So Clifford Ryan is a gentleman, a black gentleman, who has spent some time in prison and who has lost a son to violence in the streets. And he was inspired to start a movement called OGs, which variously refers to old gangsters, original gangsters, or old guys against gun violence. And what Clifford does with his cohorts is to walk around Syracuse in areas where violence occurs, on street corners and just passing through those areas, and intervene in situations where he finds violence and talk to kids in the neighborhoods about alternative ways of resolving their conflicts. Now, if you had heard the whole video, what you would heard Clifford do is talk about, and this is an absolutely brilliant realization on his part, three things that are part of his mission. The first thing, you heard a little bit about this, is to put a dent in violence. Now, putting a dent in violence is at one end of the transformational continuum. It's kind of like Paul going out and bringing the faith to Gentiles and converting them to the path of Jesus. He also talks about bringing an awareness to the situation that hasn't been brought to it by directly working with individuals that are doing the violence. So he works with youth to try and find them jobs, to get them engaged in programs, to explore other ways of being in the world than engaging in violent acts to resolve their conflicts with other people. The third thing that Clifford talks about is uniting the community. Now, that uniting the community piece is at the far other end of the spectrum of transformational continuum or transformational action. That's what we have when we talk about creating the beloved community of justice, equity, and solidarity. That's the kind of thing that Paul was working towards in establishing the Christian church. So Acts now has a transformational narrative that I'd like to share with you that has two sort of sets of components. One set of component in the Acts transformational narrative is related to humanity and our relationship with creation and each other, which are inextricably linked. We acknowledge the inherent worth and dignity of all with the power to create love. Our existence depends upon our relationships with each other. We recognize the sacred responsibility to care for creation and each other. And we are called to critique and lament the world, even as we act to change it. The second set of transformational narrative of the transformational narrative is a set of propositions that speak to our situation within the social arena. Our lives together are necessarily ordered by institutions and economic structures. And a democratic government is our agent in maintaining order. Our institutions and economy have not ensured the well-being of all. Not only have they not ensured the well-being of all, but systematic harm to certain races and classes of people has been consistently perpetrated over time. We have a right to the voice and power required to ensure transparency and accountability, and our institutions and corporations must exist in covenant with the community. You can read a more fuller description of this in the material that was available as you came in or that you might be able to pick up on the way out. So next I'd like to turn to the four pathways of structural reform that we as ACTS are now currently engaged in channeling our activity to create the beloved community of justice, equity, and solidarity. Those four pathways and everything that we are now doing in all of our task force, all of our action teams, all of our coalition work with our allies fits into intentionally one of these paths that we're trying to develop more consistently over time. One is people's control of the government. Realization of the vision of Abraham Lincoln when he talked about a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's a great idea. We should try it sometime. Structural racial equity. Expanding the public sphere. One of the developments that has been expanding over the past three or four decades is the conversion of public services to private sector operations in prisons, in schools, in all kinds of other arenas of services that had always been a sphere of public that are now located within a private sphere, making them much more difficult for the public to have any kind of impact on what is actually happening in those spheres of activity. And finally, community control of the economy. Now, let me rest assured that when I talk about community control of the economy, we don't want to think in any necessarily any terms like socialism or so forth, because what we really need to do is we need to rethink all of our economic structures and redevelop them in a way that serves the common good and not simply the special interest. So those are the four pathways to creating the beloved community of justice, equity, and solidarity that currently comprise the ACT's transformational continuum or transformational agenda that we're working on. So I'd just like to briefly now talk a little bit about some of the activities that we're engaged in. We mentioned what Clifford Ryan is doing with the OGs. They are actually part of the Community Violence and Youth Task Force that is focused in the area in the South Side around Southwest Community Center, where a lot of our violence occurs. So they have a range of things that they are engaged in, from working with Clifford to help him develop a structure for what he is doing to bring more people into the process, to write some grants to support their activity, and so forth, for trying to help him develop that program a little bit more. On the other end of this spectrum, one of the activities that we have currently launched is a voter education and engagement campaign, where we're going to be working in very targeted areas that have historically have had low voter turnout, which not coincidentally coincides with our areas of concentrated poverty and where people of color predominantly live, to not just get people to register to vote, but engage them more actively in political action. Another activity that this task force is engaged in that would be a great activity for you folks to join, if you would like. Beginning next Friday, Q's Cares is going to be holding a series of barbecues and community celebrations in areas of high violence. These barbecues will begin next Friday at the corner of Midland and Colvin, running from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and they will continue thereafter every other Friday, rain or shine, throughout the summer. We'll be getting information out about that. I'm sure that Alicia will share that information for you in your various announcements in the future. Excuse me. We also have a pre-K task force that have, over the past 4 years, has been consistently working, first in a very advocacy mode, and now in a very collaborative mode with the school district, to increase the number of slots that are available for pre-K education for children in Syracuse, 3 and 4 year olds. We have succeeded during that period of time in getting the number of pre-K slots available to over 500 from less than 100. And our efforts in that area, in fact, have been so successful that the school district has now actually joined ACTS as a member of the alliance. So on one end of that transformational continuum, the members of the task force are actually working to register individual kids in slots. Further up their continuum, they're working to build capacity to provide social services and all the other wraparound services that are necessary for these children to be successful in pre-K and to build a strong foundation for them to be successful throughout their educational career. At the far end of the continuum, the task force is working on addressing the fundamental funding problems that we have in education that make it very, very difficult for schools in cities like Syracuse to provide the education that is necessary for our students. So they're addressing that structural inequity that exists in our educational system throughout the United States. The third task force that I'll mention is the Criminal Justice Task Force. Some of you may be aware of the success that task force had last October in addressing the problem of solitary confinement of youth at Janesville Penitentiary, 16 and 17-year-old youth that should not never have been housed there, and that were being placed in solitary confinement simply as a way of controlling the population. Those youth had been moved from the Justice Center up to Janesville, a facility that was not prepared to deal with them, did not have the staff to deal with them, did not have any programming in place, and so at any given point in time, there was about a third of the population that was placed in solitary confinement for extended periods of time simply as a way of managing the population, not because the youth had done anything wrong. We succeeded through our advocacy of having that practice stop there and having the youth transferred back to the Justice Center, where they have a multitude of restorative programs that the youth are now able to participate in, and they have access to families in a way that they did not have at Janesville, and a whole lot of other positive things that are going on. Solitary confinement is still a problem, but it's not the same kind of a problem that it was in Janesville, and we're actually working with the Justice Center to address that problem, to replace those practices with proper restorative practices that will help the youth move forward in their life. So in all of these instances, and in the case of solitary confinement, that's one end of the spectrum. The real spectrum of transformational action, or on the far end of the continuum that task force is addressing, is the school to pipeline, the school to prison pipeline, and the problem of mass incarceration, and why such a high percentage of our people of color and our poor people are being placed in prisons as a way of really controlling the population. So again, each of our task forces is working across the continuum. Our intention is always to link all of these things up with what is necessary to create true, authentic, transformational change in our community, and in particularly addressing the issues of racism and color. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to bring this message to you today. You have the materials that you can you can look at, read at your leisure, and we look forward to working together much more closely in the future in providing opportunities for this congregation to operationalize their summons to the prophetic imperative. Thank you.